You're listening to The Shape, a podcast to inspire, motivate, and push the cannabis culture forward, brought to you by Trio Solution. My name is Jay Marzaria. You may recognize me from the past three seasons of The Shape podcast or as co-host of Sports Cannabis. This season, we're sitting down with leaders and companies to talk about their process, marketing and branding, data insights, lessons they've learned, and how to make an impact in the cannabis industry. With cannabis conventions on the horizon, it really helps our podcast understand the climate and talking to the people who are directly making a difference. When we walk the floors of these conventions, we can really see the effect that Detonate Cannabis Agency has had with licensed producers that are being featured. Detonate Cannabis Agency specializes in all things print for the medical and recreational cannabis markets, from packaging and print collateral to experiential pop-ups and custom trade show booths. Detonate Cannabis Agency understands the importance of standing out from the competition, even when they've created most of the booths in the room. Print, promo, Detonate Cannabis Agency can help you with that. Visit their Instagram at Detonate Cannabis Agency or website www.detonatecannabis.com to make an appointment now. Today we have the absolute pleasure of chatting with Dr. Blake Pearson about all things cannabis and the different offerings it can provide patients in need and what he's done to help lead the medical cannabis charge in Canada. Dr. Blake Pearson is a global leader in the field of cannabinoid and functional medicine, and with his highly skilled team, they've dedicated their careers to improving the lives of patients through accessible and convenient care. Dr. Blake Pearson and his team have successfully treated thousands of patients with a range of complex conditions. And today, we have the unique opportunity to sit down and chat with Dr. Blake Pearson. How are you doing? And where are you joining us from today?
I'm doing great, Jay. Thanks for having me. I'm joining you from Sarnia, Ontario, which is a great place to be this time of the year, right on Lake Huron.
Yeah. And how have you been keeping despite the current climate?
Well, for me, I have been at home just like everybody else, but I'm lucky that I can continue to do what I do from home. So whether that's on the patient side, so I can still see patients and practice cannabinoid-based medicine from home, doing virtual visits. So I've still been working, and I also do a lot of work educating other physicians. So rather than go to their offices right now, I'm still able to train them in cannabinoid-based medicine over Zoom, and I'm doing that in other countries as well, which again lends itself to Zoom. So I'm fortunate that I can still keep busy and keep sane.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. But before we chat about the medical cannabis solutions that you're providing patients, why don't you give us a better understanding of your past education and experience prior to focusing in cannabis?
Sure. So I was trained at Western. That's where I did my undergrad in kinesiology with the BSc. And then I went to medical school in the Caribbean, did my residency in the United States in Detroit, Michigan, learned a lot there during residency, came over the border back to Canada, which was always the plan, and practiced family medicine. So I did that for a few years. Mm-hmm. Primarily, and then I started to treat some of my own patients with cannabinoid-based medicines. Saw some positive results for some specific conditions, and then I started to focus on it full-time a few years ago.
So I guess that was really your aha moment. That was what made you realize you want to specialize in cannabinoid and functional medicine?
So the aha moment, yeah, was seeing the results and actually learning about the endocannabinoid system. I suppose that was the real aha moment, was first understanding the physiology behind it, because we didn't learn about this in medical school. So there, here was this whole new system that was brand new to me, and still a number of schools don't teach the endocannabinoid system. So that was the aha moment. And then seeing it in practice, primarily with my senior patients around pain and sleep initially, that's what really hooked me, and what kept me in cannabinoid medicine mm-hmm. was just how much I enjoyed the practice. You know, we don't help everybody. Certainly there's patients that don't respond, but you do see an overwhelmingly number of positive cases. Mm-hmm. And that's why I continue to do it to this day.
And so today you specialize in cannabinoid and functional medicine for patients that may not understand or, you know, may have had preconceived notions. At a high level, what have you created at Pearson Health?
It's really a matter of, I don't know if we created or if cannabinoid medicine really lends itself to this, but what we have developed as a result of utilizing cannabinoid and functional medicine is a practice that really helps people with a few different areas or a few number of diagnoses, mainly chronic pain and associated diagnoses. So whether that's fibromyalgia, diabetic neuropathy symptoms, chronic back pain, that's one bucket. Mental health. So there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of sleep disorders, mood disorders, and then also sleep disorders. And then I've over the years, past couple of years, have had a focus on nursing homes, long-term care. So we see a lot of dementia patients with responsive behaviors as well. So it really kind of formed organically because these are the areas that cannabinoid medicine can really help. In addition to now seeing a number of children with disabilities, ranging from severe autism to a number of rare genetic diseases as well.
Mm-hmm. And in order to help out a lot of these different individuals and really bring, you know, the vision that you had to life, you've surrounded yourself with a strong team. Would you mind talking about some of those individuals and the experience and values that they bring to Pearson Health?
It really is a strong team, and I'm blessed with that. And they all have a very similar work ethic that is stemmed around helping patients. So they, whether it's the docs that work for us, our nurse practitioners, everybody has this real effort and focus of, number one, helping patients. And why we've been able to add practitioners is they start working with cannabinoid-based medicines, just like I did, and they start to see the benefits in patients, and it really galvanizes the team when you're working towards that common goal. And it's not just the practitioners, it's our staff too. Mm-hmm. Everybody is really focused on helping patients, and there's a nice atmosphere, positivity, because you see these positive results, and It's a great practice to be a part of.
Now, something that you emphasize on your website is the care model. Can you talk about this model, and which is really like an individualized approach, and why this route was taken to ultimately benefit patients?
Yeah, and really that is our care model. So what we kind of focus on and how we treat our patients is really based on evaluating them as a whole. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these conditions, chronic conditions, are the result of a number of things, and we kind of look at the whole picture. So when it comes to, let's say, a chronic pain patient, mm-hmm. well, our care model really focuses on, obviously, cannabinoid-based medicines, because that is a big part of what we do. But we look at, okay, what was tried in the past? What failed? What had some success? And then we move into really talking about, in addition to cannabinoid-based medicine, what else might help this condition? So we focus on nutrition. You know, how's the diet? Are we getting enough vegetables? Are we having enough sleep? That's another huge component of the care model, mm-hmm. is adequate sleep. And then we also dive into things like mindfulness and exercise as well. So I have always found over the years, if you have all of those things working together, it doesn't matter if we're talking chronic pain, mental health, sleep disorders, you're going to have good results if you have them all working together as opposed to just one.
Yeah, it's really a full circle solution that you guys are providing. And beyond the emphasis of the care model lies an ability to tackle challenges online with patients, which is incredibly beneficial, especially during the moments that we are living in. Can you walk us through what patients can expect during an online visit or consult?
Yeah, so now with COVID-19, and we were shifting virtually anyways before that, but really what you could expect is, you know, you'll get your confirmation email first of all, the appointment needs to be booked. So there's ways to book appointments on our website or calling the office. Again, prior to COVID-19, it was referrals only from your GP or your rheumatologist or your neurologist. But now with the landscape changing, we have opportunities for self-referrals. Again, if there is a qualifying condition, and those are listed on the website as well. But again, think chronic pain, insomnia, mental health, or dementia. But so once that kind of initial step's done and an appointment's been booked, well, we send out, you know, kind of a survey to rate pain scores or rate your mood, rate your anxiety, to give us some information as well as a standard kind of information you need for any initial medical appointment, past medical history, allergies, past surgical history, medications, obviously. So all of that, though, can be done online, which is fantastic. So from the by the time it's we're ready for our first initial visit, all of that's put it, and we can just basically log on and get started. So that's one thing that patients need to realize, too, is that they'll get an email with instructions on how to use the video conferencing function as well. And even a year ago, you would think, particularly seniors, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
But again, given everything that's been going on, we're finding no issues with people utilizing the video conference.
It really is the new norm. And it's something that you're talking about is that this vision really came to life even before COVID. Why was this route taken? And, you know, can you talk a little bit more about how it's been integral to your company's growth?
Sure. Twofold, really. Kind of on the practical side, I was doing a lot of training of other physicians all across the province. So I couldn't be in my physical office as much as I had in the past. So it was a natural pivot to move virtually from that point of view. Mm-hmm. But when we did, it really became apparent that this practice, and again, the diagnoses that we're talking about, really lend itself to virtual visits. So again, think a chronic pain patient or a senior in the wintertime. Well, they don't want to come into the office if they don't have to. And because their diagnoses are chronic in nature, there's really no need to put physical hands on the patient. So, again, if you think chronic pain, mental health, a lot of patients would rather have the visit from the comfort of their own home. And in my long-term care practice, I see a lot of patients in nursing homes, again, specifically dementia with responsive behaviors. So all video conference with the staff at those homes and not have to go into the physical home. So it's just a function, again, of cannabinoid medicine really lending itself to virtual conferencing.
Now, on www.pearsonhealth.ca, you've described cannabinoid medicine as a multimodality solution that possesses a superior safety profile. How do you believe cannabinoid medicine will ultimately help practitioners assess, prescribe, or even wean patients off meds?
So that is one of the best qualities about cannabinoid medicine, and that's why I enjoy the art and the practice of it, is because you can have a real effect on reducing polypharmacy. And that's the term for basically patients on a large number of medications called polypharmacy. So when you have a medication like cannabinoid-based medicine, let's take a chemotherapy patient who has some neuropathic pain, some nausea and vomiting. So typically they'd be on a medication for their vomiting. They'd be on a medication for their sleep. They'd be on a medication for the neuropathic pain. And why cannabinoids are wonderful is oftentimes you can reduce all of those to just using a cannabis-based medicine because there's evidence for nausea and vomiting. There's evidence for neuropathic pain. There's evidence for sleep. So using one medication as opposed to three or four is always a good idea in medicine. And I think that's why people are gravitating towards it. And that's why more and more physicians are getting comfortable with it as well.
So everyone's notion in cannabinoid-based therapy or medicine varies, right? There are impressions that it could be a Band-Aid solution, or there are others that believe it can be coupled with other therapies to ultimately bring remission or relief for patients. What are your thoughts on this?
So it really depends on the actual diagnosis and what we're trying to treat. And what rubs physicians the wrong way is you hear it's the panacea, it can do everything, treat everything, which is not true. But then you have some people on the other side of the fence saying it's just, you know, hocus pocus. There's no evidence. It doesn't work as a medicine. And the reality is it's in the middle. Of course, there are diagnoses with evidence where you do see therapeutic effect. Now, that might not mean remission or treating a disease. So think of where the evidence is. So chronic pain. Mm-hmm. Well, we're not curing somebody's osteoarthritis. Mm-hmm. We're not curing their neuropathy, but you're managing the symptoms. And that is where cannabinoids do have a proven role. Where you talk about some type of cure of an actual underlying condition, well, there's not a lot of evidence to support that mm-hmm. yet. One of the most fascinating things is obviously everything that's going on with the talk of cannabinoids for having anti-tumor properties. And certainly, I would love to see that one day as a reality. The evidence right now isn't there, but it is a exciting field of research. There's some great research going on in Israel by Dr. Mary, where they're looking at the different cancer cell lines with different cannabinoids. So one day, could cannabis be seen more of a cure, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but right now, it's really kind of on these chronic conditions where a lot of the evidence is.
Okay, so would it be fair to say that you believe cannabinoid-based therapy has the potential to be one of the greatest healthcare advances of our time?
Yeah, 100%. To think that we weren't using this in practice, you know, 10, 20 years ago, and now you see, again, you're helping these chronic conditions, right? But more research is coming out on using CBD for schizophrenia, good randomized control trials, right? Mm-hmm. You see research coming out in dementia, behavioral psychological symptoms of dementia, mm-hmm. real good, you know, randomized control trials. So to me, this is a whole emerging field of medicine, and there is already good evidence and patients are benefiting. But if more physicians are comfortable and more evidence continues to pour in, it will be the greatest kind of medical discovery of our lifetimes.
Okay. Now, despite my personal beliefs and many others, as well as doctors like yourself that advocate for the plant and its healing modalities, there's still an apparent stigma, which you've taken head on, not only with your clinic, but also as an advocate. Can you talk about why you are so passionate about developing research within this field and the importance of educating other healthcare practitioners?
Why I'm so passionate about it is because I've seen firsthand, you know, a large number of patients benefit, like probably over 10,000 patients I've seen over the years. And it's just become apparent that there is a number of diagnoses where patients not only benefit, but their lives can change. And that's what's driven me to teach other physicians and advocate and really be involved, is because I know that I'm limited with the number of patients I can only see so many. But I always thought, if I can train other physicians to do what I do, then my reach goes so much further. And I'm lucky enough that now that's become a reality. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to not just do that in Canada, but it's been really cool to do that in Australia, in Germany, and kind of have a global reach. So that's what drives me. And as far as advocating too, here in Canada, the only kind of issue I have right now is just the fact that I treat a lot of vulnerable populations, disabilities, dementia patients, and there's no coverage even for CBD. So that's another area I'm passionate about, is raising enough awareness so that these vulnerable populations, at least start there, could get some type of coverage for medication that actually helps them.
Yeah. And do you believe that once cannabis is more widely accepted, especially amongst the healthcare industry, we'll see a true ripple effect of inclusivity and a little bit more funding towards patients that need it?
I hope so, Jay. I mean, it's, when you think about it from just kind of a common sense standpoint, I have a friend whose kiddo has a rare epilepsy syndrome, and CBD is the only thing that has worked, and including multiple anti-epileptic drugs. And he's paying somewhere around $500 a month because the doses these kiddos need are quite high, mm-hmm. sometimes even 1,000, 2,000 milligrams a day, which gets very expensive. So the fact that this is a medication that works and he has to pay out of pocket for it, it just doesn't make any sense. And same thing on the dementia side of things. We're using these products when preventing other kind of more harmful medications like antipsychotics. We're having success, mm-hmm. and there's no coverage. It kind of blows my mind. I understand that, you know, it's a slippery slope with cannabis coverage, because then, you know, perhaps rec users or adult use users might want to get their cannabis covered. Mm-hmm. But I think there are some clearly defined points that you could start with where that wouldn't be a concern. And I think it starts with the vulnerable populations. And that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Now, beyond advocating, you know, you've really taken this notion a step further with monthly activations. And you're hosting free virtual lockdown learning series, which any of our listeners, new patients, existing patients, or anyone that's interested can register at www.drblakepearson.org/webevents. This month, on June 24th, you'll be joined by Jessica Moran to discuss caring for individuals living with disabilities during the pandemic. Why were these events taken on, and what can patients expect when they're attending these events?
It goes back, kind of the genesis of the lockdown learning series goes back to like day one, essentially, of the COVID lockdown. I had been taking calls in my community to basically triage patients and keep them out of the ER. And it was a lot of upper respiratory calls. And I was working with those patients. And then I noticed something switch. The calls started to be less about, you know, respiratory symptoms and more about anxiety, mental health calls surrounding COVID. So that kind of steered the direction of the lockdown learning series. Initially, it was, hey, let's talk about how we can boost immunity through exercise, nutrition, and possibly prevent COVID from, you know, boosting immunity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then after hearing more of the mental health calls, why don't we focus on the mental health side of this COVID lockdown? So we had another colleague of mine on to talk about it. We had a counselor from Toronto on to talk about relationships, dealing with anxiety during this time. Then we pivoted to chronic pain because a lot of the chiros, PTs, injections, pain infusions were closed. And now coming up now with our next down learning series, have switched to another patient population that I'm very passionate about, and that's on the disability side of things. So the families, like the caregivers, there's big changes. For the actual patients with disabilities, there's big changes. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about all of that. Well, that's why Jess is going to be on. She's fantastic, and she's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to that community. So we're going to kind of go over even a lot of it's based on self-care, too. So, again, that will be focused on the caregivers as well, but really just kind of, what does it look like in the lockdown world? What's going on with respite programs? What's going on with home care services? Do a lot of these patients with disabilities require PPE shortages? We know with the healthcare workers, but even for this patient population. So there's a lot of issues we're going to talk about. We're going to try to empower mm-hmm. the families mm-hmm. of the patients with disabilities. And we'll weave in some endocannabinoid talk as well, because, you know, again, that's a patient population of mine where some of them have seen some benefits. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's a topic that needs to be discussed, and I'm really excited to have Jess on because she's just fantastic.
Yeah, no, we're excited for the event as well. They sound like they're going to provide invaluable information for the community, patients, and industry. You know, earlier in this conversation, we chatted about your aha moment, the one that really made you realize you want to specialize in cannabinoid and functional medicine. We have a channel dedicated to sports and cannabis called Sports Cannabis, where we discuss the wave of cocktail solutions that were used and extremely detrimental to athletes and their health. What are your thoughts on the slow adoption of cannabinoid-based therapy within the sporting world?
I think it's long overdue in the sporting world. Again, it's just kind of old stigma and bias of why it was prevented from the sporting world. But I have a number of friends who have played hockey at high levels, even some in the NHL. And so I'm close to it. I know what a lot of those guys deal with. I know a lot of them have been on, like you said, different cocktails, whether it's sleep meds like Ambien, or a few of the guys in recent years had issues with opiates. Some had even committed suicide as a result. Mm-hmm. So to me, cannabinoids, again, when you think of what it helps with, anxiety, sleep, chronic pain, is a no-brainer in sports. I know some leagues are changing their policies, which is great to see. Mm-hmm. And I've had some discussions with the NHLPA over the years on it. It hasn't really moved that quickly, mm-hmm. but I know that more of the team docs are getting comfortable with it. And I think it's a no-brainer that it shouldn't be on the banned substances list. And hopefully we see that soon.
No, I completely agree. Now, if we look back to when you first decided to specialize in cannabinoid and functional medicine to today, what's one major milestone that sticks out to you?
One of the pivotal moments for me was deciding to focus on it full time. So I had been doing family practice, cannabinoid-based medicine, and at one point they were 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I had to make that decision, okay, you know, I'm going to focus on this full time. And why I did was it was just a more enjoyable practice for me. I really enjoyed seeing some of the positive results. I felt like I was having a much bigger impact. So that would be one of them. And another kind of pivotal moment was the very first one-on-one learning session I did with a physician. And we went through the training together, a lot of hands-on stuff. And then it was just fantastic to have that doc give me a call and talk about a real remarkable case that he had with a good patient outcome. He was happy, patient was happy. And that was another pivotal moment for me realizing, hey, I can do this and I can help people all over the world. So those two moments kind of stand out for me.
Now, Dr. Pearson, it was incredible to have you on the Shake podcast. But before we let you go, we like to ask all of our guests one last question. And that is there a piece of technology, a book, or a past experience that has helped shape who you are today?
Yeah. And I would say it's fairly recent. The book was Skin in the Game by Nassim Taleb. And it's not really specific to medicine, more to life, philosophy, business, and just that notion of skin in the game. You got to put yourself out there, and not only you putting yourself out there, but working with people who have also put it out there. And it's almost like an inherent BS detector, skin in the game. If someone doesn't, then they're harder to trust. So I love that book. He wrote another book called Anti-Fragile, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that would be, and Anti-Fragile is the idea that, you know, you get stronger when there's volatility. Mm-hmm. So something like this crisis right now, like how do you come out of it even better? And those two books and that author have been a big impact on my life over the last 2 years.
We want to give a huge thank you to Dr. Blake Pearson for joining the Shake podcast presented by Treehouse Solutions. We also want to thank our loyal Shake listeners for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. You can join the discussion or drop us a line at www.treehousesolutions.com and on Instagram at the Shake Podcast. please also check out our parent Instagram at Trio Solution. And if you're a huge sports fan and love cannabis or everything in between, we have you covered. Check out our latest channel at Sports Cannabis on Instagram. If you're on Twitter, follow us at THS_audio. Be sure to look out for our next episode when we chat with another industry-leading representative. We hope you enjoyed our session. Stay tuned for our next podcast.